Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Last week we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew, and we talked about the couple who had two different concepts of what marriage was all about. Yeah, we had the woman who was in it with both feet, all of everything, and we had the man who says, you know what, not only do we have separate bathrooms, but I wish we had separate bedrooms too, and I would have done it had I thought about it. Yeah. He says that, you know, after 10 years of marriage and they had two separate bathrooms, he wished that he had thought early enough about getting two separate bedrooms. Yep. He said, for instance, you need a separate bedroom because they go to bed at least 2 hours apart. And, you know, he doesn't want to have to wake her up when he finally gets to bed. Also, he says because of sleep apnea, he snores so loudly, he wakes her up all night long and she wakes him up, so he can stop snoring and she can go back to sleep. And that perfect mattress, he has one need for the perfect mattress and she has another need for a perfect mattress. So, you know, those are all the reasons why they should get two separate bedrooms. And the wife is not having it. She's like, no way, no way, no way. Well, the due time crew is in agreement with the wife. Yes. You know, no, it's not time yet for two bedrooms. You know, once you begin to separate, you know, unfortunately, you may be able, you may start separating in some other areas. So, no, not quite, not quite. Not quite. All right. Well, Monday is time for the switch tip. And the switch with Shantice says, rejuvenate yourself in God. Yes. You know, don't underestimate the fact that, you know, once saved, always saved. You need some rejuvenation every once in a while. And you can't really get that from anywhere else but right, but in the Lord. You know, it's going to be thorough, it is going to be efficient, it is going to be accurate. Okay, so make sure, you know, you need that stimulation, go ahead and get that from the Lord. Okay. All right. Well, there was no Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day last week, but there was a Wow Wednesday. Oh, yeah. And we were missing our girlfriend Vivian and her socially conscious segment, but the ladies did talk about the woman who had gone on the Tinder date, and after she had been on the date with this man who had told her to get anything she wants from the menu, the sky is the limit, he asked her for $376 to cover the cost of turning his electricity back on. Oh, yeah. We also talked about that man who was falling in love with his cousin. Yeah. And he wrote into the TikTok regime to find out what he should do. Yeah, well, if you got to write in about it, you probably needed to just leave that alone. Yes, 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 yes. And we then talked about the woman who, after 3 years of her husband being dead and going through his things, she found out that he was a major cheater and told quite a few women that she was dead. Oh, look how fate had it. He was then dead. Wow. Wow. Yeah, you know, got to be careful about these stories we tell. Just might end up falling in our backyard. Oh, yeah. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and we got to talking about those behaviors that qualify or not as to whether we are classy. Yeah. People who value time. You know, they say that those people are classy. Well, what about they're mindful of their surroundings? Yep, they qualify as classy people too. Yeah, you know, this list was quite interesting, as, you know, being genuine also qualified a person for being classy. Now, this was a little twist from what we used to call classy, but, you know, then we ended up talking about the fact that these were components of a Christian person, you know, and Christian people are supposed to be classy. Yeah, right? Right. So, you know, it was an interesting conversation. It was quite an interesting conversation to be at. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and we duplicated the conversation that we had with our ladies with the men. And we talked about signs that you're not ready for a relationship. And one of the components was, you're not willing to compromise. Does that mean you're not ready for a relationship? You're emotionally unavailable. And Brother Ainsley wanted to know, would you know if you were emotionally unavailable? Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Also, you're not ready to trust. See how the men went about this task of, you know, letting us know whether you were ready to date or not based on these items. Because I got to tell you, they were quite different in conversation than with the ladies. Yeah, as always, you find something completely different when you talk to the man. Well, I have to tell you, it was a hilarious time on Friday and definitely sent us into a thought-provoking weekend. Yeah, you would, man, if you thought you were ready to date after talking to those three on Friday, you may never want to date again. Yeah. Well, that's how we spent our week. Now, last night, Sunday, we were in the Word Prayer Project room, and we prayed about obedience over sacrifice. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, some of us have something to work on when it comes to that obedience, where we are not that quick to obey, more than we are quick to kind of go our own way. So, you know, we lifted that up in prayer last night. As always, the prayer requests were fantastic. It was really, really a good night. And I kind of implore you to go back and listen to that prayer and that conversation. You know, we had three things that we learned about being obedient. You need to be obedient immediately. Yes, there's no waiting period. If God told you on Tuesday to make sure you make a move, then you need to make a move on Tuesday, unless he tells you something different. But you need to just jump on that thing. The next thing we learned is you've got to be completely obedient. You can't do it partially. If God tells you to do something, go the distance. Don't do it halfway. Don't do it three quarters. 99.5 just won't do. And thirdly, make sure you are joyful while you're being obedient. Yes, long faces ain't going to work. Kicking and screaming ain't going to work. Crying about it ain't going to work. Pouting about it ain't going to work. Make sure we are joyful while we're being obedient, okay? All right. Oof. And that's how we got our week started. Yeah, that's Sunday night. That's the top of the week. You know, God is so strategic. He gave us the Word Prayer Project at 9 o'clock on Sundays to jumpstart the week. Yeah, so you don't wake up with the Monday morning blues. And here we are again, already Monday, where we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Now, if you were praying with us last night, there would be no way you would wake up bluesy. No. So, I tell you, go back and play the prayers. If for whatever the reason is, we're not in prayer that Sunday night, you've got about 67 prayer topics to go over. Yeah. To get your week jump started. All right? I know you can do it by yourself. I know you pray, you know, over and over and over again by yourself. I get it. But corporate prayer, nothing beats corporate prayer. The Bible says one chases 1,000, but two sends 10,000 to flight. Don't you like those odds? Yeah, well, that's what you need to be thinking about, okay? All right. Woo! Well, like I said, we are shaking the Monday morning blues already. I know time has flown by. We are at another Monday already. We are at the 11th of March. Woo! And daylight savings time hit us again. I could not believe we were already pushing the time up. And it was still kind of dark outside. It's still kind of dark outside right now. And I'm trying to figure out why, if we went forward, because 2 days ago, this was only 6:14. So now we're at 7:14. We should be nice and bright and I don't know what's going on, but we still going to get this day started together. Thank you so much for joining me. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go and get that healthy breakfast. Go and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
People with AIDS are people. They are families. They are mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors, just people. But it's through my work I am able to save one life, to bring one family closer together in their time of need. Then I will consider my work well done.
You know, despite remarkable progress in the fight against HIV, women account for almost 20% of the estimated 45,000 new HIV infections in the United States each year. African American women account for an alarming 62% of new HIV infections. We must continue to protect ourselves. If you are sexually active, no matter what your age, please practice safer sex and get tested for HIV. To get the facts about HIV, visit ageisnotacondom.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes. It is Monday already. The week has flown by, and it's time for us to get our morning started. Are you ready? All righty. Let's go. Well, we always start off Monday with our health tip. And I need y'all to go in those refrigerators if you buy cheese and make sure you don't have Sargento cheese in your refrigerator. They say that there has been a recall, and it was distributed in Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, North Carolina, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Rhode Island, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin. Okay, now they say that the particular shredded cheese that's being recalled includes, I've never heard of this, Cotija cheese. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I've never heard of it before, but if you eat it, then you know how to pronounce it. Cotija cheese, Parmesan cheese, Swiss cheese, Asiago cheese, Monterey Jack cheese, queso, quesadilla cheese, white cheddar cheese, and cheddar cheese, plus they say the bistro and Italian cheese blends. Okay? So if you're in any of those states that it was distributed into those shredded cheeses, they say there's a recall because of Listeria, and that includes symptoms, fever, muscle aches, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. And listeria especially affects children, pregnant women, and elderly. Okay? And they say, and those who are immunocompromised, you know, that's like if you have an autoimmune disease, they say it can take up to 70 days from exposure to experience those symptoms. So throw it out or take it back to the store for a full refund. Okay? All righty. Well, our next, get your pens out, because we're about to talk about these kidneys, okay? The kidneys, two of the most important organs in your body, okay? A lot more important than people understand it to be. They say that this organ dual filters your blood, produces hormones, eliminates toxins, absorbs minerals, produces urine, neutralizes acids, and more. Okay? They play a vital role in several of your body's major functions. And if you don't take care of your kidneys, you can develop some serious health issues. Okay? Now, they say that this kidney thing has been major over the last few years. Yeah. But for some reason, it's not getting the attention that it needs to get. They say that kidney diseases are often referred to as the silent diseases. And because of the silent nature, people often won't realize that kidney disease affects them until it's too late. All right? So we have 10 habits that put a strain on your kidneys. Make sure you got those pens up, because if I hear another adult tell me that they don't like water, I'm closing the door on you. Stop, stop. That's for kids. Come on. You're too old to not understand how vital water is, and that is the first thing on this list. We're talking about the habits that put a strain on your kidneys. Number one is not drinking enough water. Okay? One of the top functions of your kidneys is filtering blood and eliminating toxins and waste from your body. And if you're frequently dehydrated and you're not getting enough water, then those waste and toxins will start to build up and cause damage to your kidneys. Yes. All right. So get that water in your system. Now, you don't have to drink water like Pastor Steph, but you definitely need to flush your kidneys. Okay. Especially if you don't eat properly. All right. Do yourself a favor, because it's your kidneys that's going to be bad, not mine. Number two. We're talking about the things that put a strain on your kidneys. Too much salt in your diet. Yes. Okay, we know that, you know, salt is an important mineral, but we can't, you know, ingest too much salt on a regular basis, because high blood pressure definitely puts a strain on our kidneys. So make sure you don't do a whole lot more than 5 grams of salt a day. All right. Season your food properly and you won't have to put, you know, a whole lot of salt on your food. You know, some people just put salt on their food just to put salt on their food because it's just a habit. And please do not put salt on your children's food. Oh, my goodness. When I see that, it just burns my eyeballs. Okay. We're talking about the things that put a strain on your kidneys. Number three, holding your urine. Yes, not going to the bathroom when your body feels it needs to go to the bathroom. All right? They say the kidneys play a major role in producing urine and getting it out of your body. And if you don't go because either you're too busy or you're preoccupied with doing so many things, this will put pressure on your kidneys, and this will lead to kidney disease, possibly kidney stones, kidney failure, and incontinence. That means not being able to hold your urine. All righty. Number four, kick that sugar habit. Yeah. For those of us who just eat a bunch of sugar, drink a bunch of sugary drinks, they say that you need to make sure that you keep that sugar to a minimum, because studies have shown people who consume two or more sugary drinks by the end of the day end up having protein in their urine. And that's one of the first signs that your kidneys aren't working the way they should be. All right, number five, vitamin and mineral deficiencies. Okay, make sure you keep your veggies and your fruits on point. Okay, it's not just for weight loss, y'all. But fruits and vegetables keep your body fueled. And they say the vitamins and mineral deficiencies can end up being the underlying causes of several health concerns, especially when it comes to your kidneys. When you're deficient of vitamin B6 and magnesium, that definitely increases the risk of kidney stones. All righty. Number six, we're talking about the things that put a strain on your kidneys. Too much animal protein. Okay, eating high amounts of red meat. Okay, processes a lot of protein into your system, which can increase the metabolic load on your kidneys. And the overconsumption of protein tends to overwork your kidneys, and this consistent stress can lead to kidney damage and dysfunction. So make sure you try to lessen red meat that you eat. All righty. Sleep deprivation. Oh, my. This one I am definitely guilty of. They say sleeping gives your body the chance to recuperate and heal, including any stress or damage done to your kidneys. So chronic sleep deprivation keeps your body from being able to heal properly and lead to even further stress and damage done to your kidneys. Okay? Do you have a caffeine habit? They say just like salt, your caffeine intake can put some stress on your kidneys, and this can cause damage over time if you consume too much coffee or other highly caffeinated beverages. Okay? Painkiller abuse. Yeah, you know those people who constantly take something for aches and pains, even for like little minor things. Yes, well, you think it's harmless, but they say the overuse of painkillers can put a whole lot of extra tension on your kidneys, which can cause harm or damage. All right, so try to go for some more of the natural remedies to alleviate your pain. okay? And that can possibly reduce the need for painkillers. Alcohol consumption. Well, I'm hoping that I'm not talking to a whole lot of you who consume a lot of alcohol, okay? Even if you talk about getting that occasional glass of wine, yeah, they say you don't know your body and you don't know what that occasional glass of wine is doing to your body. It could be doing some harm to your body, okay? So if you don't want that kidney damage later on, make sure you stay away from the alcohol consumption. Now, for those who love to say, you know, Jesus drank wine and, you know, it's okay to have a glass of wine, the Bible don't say, or the Bible says, think about the body being the temple of the Lord. And if they're learning more and more about this damage that alcohol is doing to your body, why would it be okay? Because it's destroying the temple of the Lord. So it would not be okay. All right? So let me just go over real quick some of the habits we have that will put stress on our kidneys. Not drinking enough water, too much salt, frequently holding and not going to the bathroom the way you should, too much sugar, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, too much animal protein, sleep deprivation, too much caffeine, painkiller abuse, and alcohol consumption. All righty. Now, think about this also. Think about if you got several of these habits. Oh, think about if you got several of these habits, what your kidney must look like right about now. Okay? Or your kidneys look like right about now. Okay? All righty, what are we talking about today? I got a whole lot of news in front of me, but I don't know what I want to talk about. All right, I think I want to talk about this one because I saw this in the news quite often last week. And when I saw this last night, I was like, wow, okay. Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of stories submitted, so I want to say thank you to all of you who think of Pastor Steph and sends me, you know, your news suggestions. All right, well, this is a biggie. This was a biggie. So I'm sure that if you, I mean, just glanced at the news, listened to the news, or anything, you heard about the six-year-old little girl who was missing in South Africa. Yeah, made its way all the way over to the States. It was everywhere. Yeah. So she's been missing for some weeks now. Well, little Jocelyn Smith has been missing, and they say that they really put the word out to the world that she was missing. Well, now they say they have arrested her mama, Raquel Chantel Smith, who goes by the name of Kelly Smith. She was arrested on Thursday and charged with kidnapping and selling or trafficking the child that some of her neighbors told that she sold her daughter for $1,000. Now, you go into jail for $1,000. Your daughter only meant $1,000 to you. They said last week 300 South African naval officers joined a dog unit and drones in search of the little girl. They say that she is not even in the country anymore. Now, they have a few other people that they took into custody. Two men and a woman were also charged with kidnapping and human trafficking. And one of the men that was arrested was her boyfriend, the mama's boyfriend. I don't know what it is with these women these days. They are turning over the children, giving up the kids for the men. I don't get it. Well, hopefully the little girl is alive. They say they found some of her clothing, well, some clothing that they believe belongs to her, with some bloodstains on it and a knife not too far from the clothing. And she claims she feels her daughter is going to be found dead. My motherly instincts are telling me my daughter is still alive. I said it the opposite way. She says her daughter would be found. She claims her motherly instincts are telling her daughter is still alive and in the area. I don't know whether this is something she said before they arrested her or after they arrested her, but I ain't interested in what she got to say. They have a what's equivalent to our $13,400. They have that reward if anyone can locate or knows how the police can locate this little girl. What else do we want to talk about? All right, we're talking about money, right? So there are these two Ohio women who have been accused. They lived with some elderly man. These are some elderly women. Okay? So the women are both, I believe, in their 70s. And the 80-year-old man, they found dead in the apartment that they shared with him. So they put his corpse in a car, sat him up, and went and took some money out the bank. Now, here's the thing. They had been allowed to do this previously. And the tellers told them, at least according to them, the tellers told them that as long as he was in the car, they could take the money out for him. So, I guess despite the fact that he wasn't talking, they felt they might be able to get away with this thing. Well, no, they were not able to get out and away with this. They ended up withdrawing $900 while they had him in the car. And then they took him to the hospital. Yeah, they took him to the medical center. They can only face up to a year in jail. And I guess they figured that wasn't enough to, you know, to rattle the cage for them. If God grants them to 80 years old, they could do the year. How hard is it going to be for them in jail? Ain't nobody going to pay them no mind. Ain't nobody going to bother these women. So I guess they figured they could do the year. Ain't no big deal. Wow. What else are we talking about? Okay, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with them, y'all? What's wrong with them? So there's another twisted mama. Now there's a little girl. Oh my goodness. If you were to see her little face, Liliana, who's 4 years old, has a mama, Danielle, 25. Wow. Little Liliana was mauled by mom's boyfriend's large dog. They say that the dog ripped her scalp from her head. Yes. She's now out of intensive care. Excuse me. She's on a long journey to recovery. I'm trying to find the part where they really talk about the damage that was done. Okay, so they say little Liliana had her scalp torn off. Her cheekbone was broken. She has torn ligaments in her neck and stitches all over her body. Now, why are we talking about this morning? Because 25-year-old mama tried to hide the clothing. She tried to hide little Liliana's bloody clothes after the attack. So who was she protecting? Clearly she wasn't there to protect little Liliana from the dog. So she covered up the boyfriend's negligence as well as her own negligence after they had to call and let the, you know, EMS and you know, police know that the baby had been mauled by the dog. So she took the clothes and hid them under the bed. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, they ended up having to put the dog to sleep. And they're testing some tissue for some reason. They say due to the severity of the injuries. And they say, quote, unquote, it needs to be, the process of the testing of the tissue needs to be expedited because the injuries were very close to the brain. So I don't know what, you know, what has, you know, what they're checking for. I don't know. But little Liliana is actually disabled. Yeah. She was born, I think they say, with spinal bifida. Yeah, so not only is she disabled, but mama wasn't watching her. Yeah, spinal bifida. And so that means that, you know, she's already not moving around the way she should be. Now, check this out. I don't understand. And see, they don't offer an explanation for this. They say while the little girl was mauled by the dog, the mother had a judge-mandated no-contact order in place prohibiting her from seeing her daughter following an arrest for child abuse and domestic assault last month. So if you had this no contact order, how are you with the little girl? How is she in your care? Man, they don't, and I'm telling you, I'm going to follow this story because I promise you it's going to come out later how she ended up with this child, because this here, not only that, but they say they look back, the boyfriend had, they say he has at least two theft convictions dating back to 2006 and was additionally cited for harboring a dangerous dog and pet damaging property. So the both of them should not have been around this baby. And this baby was in their care. And this is what happens. So thank God the little girl, she didn't die. But they say she has a long, long road to recovery. you know, thank God she's only four, you know, over the course of life, you know, she might be able to kind of get back to her normal, you know, poor baby. Oh, poor baby, poor baby, poor baby. What else are we talking about here? Let's talk about some relationship news. I could not get around this story. If they had this story a million times in every area of news that I looked in last night about the woman here in New York City. She was pushed on the tracks of the, in the subway at about 10:25 in the morning on Fulton Street in Lower Manhattan. When the cops got there, they found her conscious and responsive, 29 years old. She had been struck by a southbound number 3 train. But why is this making the news? Because the alleged pusher is her boyfriend, and she does not have any legs now. They had to amputate, well, not legs, but they had to amputate both her feet. And when I tell you they did not stop telling this story, everywhere you look, this was on, I mean, this was on their list. Every single time on their list. On the list. Everybody's list had this story. I don't know. They said that they were seen fighting, and next thing they knew, he pushed her onto the tracks. So now she has no feet. Oh, boy. What other relationship news we have before I go to my due time crew and start talking? All right. Well, I got a couple of stories real quick. Not stories, not long stories at all. So there were these two men in Georgia, 37 and 34 years old. They are responsible for causing an explosion at a home. Now, there was a woman and a child on the inside. She was dating, the woman was dating one of the men who's been named in this explosion. And they do not say what caused the rift between the two of them. But I got to tell you, they had some kind of plan to get rid of this woman and her child. So I don't know what she did that made him mad. But they claim that he and they were planning to release a large python into her home to eat her daughter. It alleges that they planned to scalp the woman before blowing up her home. They say that they also plan to shoot arrows into the woman's front door and mail dog feces or dead rats to her. They had mapped out a path to get to her house, and then they planned on putting some explosives in the home and blowing up the house. Well, blowing up the house is what they did. I don't know what happened to the python. I don't know what happened to the scalping of the woman. I don't know what happened to shooting the arrows through the front door. I don't know what happened to mailing the dog feces or the dead rats, but they did the explosion part. Who plans to do all of this? How much does somebody got to hate you to plan to put a large python in your home to eat up your daughter or your child? How mad do you have to make a person in order for them to plan to scalp you? Oh, my gosh. man, they blew up the house, though. They definitely blew up the house. Thank God that the woman and the child did not succumb to, you know, the explosion. They did get out alive. Now, there's a woman who did not make it out alive. After her husband, they're in Texas, and he found out that she was cheating on him. And 60-year-old Carrie Birmingham told his wife, Patricia, that she was going to meet Jesus right before he shot her 3 times. And this looks like a sawed-off shotgun he's holding. He said to her, I hope it was worth it. And I'm done. And shot her dead. Wow. Well, they had, I believe, a 13-year-old daughter who says that she has no intentions on ever forgiving her father because he took away the most important person in her life. He's going to be eligible for parole in 5 years. Can you imagine that? You said all of that, which meant that you planned to shoot her. You stood in her face. You told her she was going to meet Jesus. You said to her that you hoped it was worth it and that you were done, and you shot her on camera 3 times outside of their home. And whatever amount of time you are sentenced, you only going to have to spend 5 years before you'll be eligible for parole. This is sick. This is the same state that won't let the kid go to school because of his hair. You see how twisted they are out there in Texas? Where's my girl, Tamika? Let's see what she got to say about this craziness. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
Girl, I don't know after reading these news stories. How are you?
I'm trying to figure out what, you can't, the sad part about this whole thing is you can't make these stories up, you know.
Nope.
Even if you tried, it wouldn't be good enough.
That's right. It wouldn't be as juicy as the real thing. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Well, where do we even start, Tamika? All right, So we've got the girl who's been missing, who was all over the news. That's all I saw last week, was this little girl who's been missing from Africa. Come to find out, the neighbor said that she was sold by her mother for $1,000. Three other people were arrested, two other men and a woman, and one of the men was her boyfriend. What's your thought?
There's a phrase that my family uses that we joke around with, you know, depending on what relative it is. But, you know, this is truly, it literally fits. You know, my family normally says, you know, they don't make mamas like they used to. And, you know, this here is literally proof of it. You know, like, you couldn't care, you know, about her. You know, and then my thing is, I'm not legitimizing what she did, but $1,000, you can blow $1,000 in a half an hour, you know, depending on what you do with money. $1,000, you know, and you knew what you were doing. You know, you had other people, and then, you know, so my thing is, why even bother saying that your child is lost? Or you try to save yourself because somebody, you knew that somebody else knew. You knew. You know, and so you try to save yourself. But it's just, you know, you got found out. Technology is so advanced now that, you know, they can find things, you know, and you really are not so bright. Not bright at all. You and your little friend.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. What else are we talking about? Let's see. We got quite a few stories here this morning. Wait, hold on. Okay. What about... Wait a minute now. Okay, wait. We got to talk about this one, girl. We got to talk about this one. About the man and his friend or cousin or somebody who said that they were going to put the large python in the house to eat up the woman's daughter. They were going to scalp the woman. They were going to throw arrows in her home at her door and mail dog feces or dead rats to her. How mad you got to be, Tamika, to do all of this to somebody?
Yeah, I was wondering that whole thing when you went off on the spiel. I was just like, so you're not just going to, you know, put that, you know, arrows, you know, into my door. You're going to mess with my child. Dog feces or rats, you know, dead rats. Like, who in their right mind thinks of anything? You know, we know that they're not in their right mind, but, you know, and, you know, you're not just going to kill me. You're going to blow up my house. So everything, you basically want to erase that I ever really existed and anything that I've given birth
yep.
to, you know.
Yep.
You want to erase it all. That's some super kind of mad. Super, super kind of mad.
Yep. You know, I was reading
and
this and I'm saying,
after a while, you just said, oh, forget it all. We just going to blow it up. Forget it. Scratch it off.
Right. After all of that, we going to blow it up. Why you just didn't blow it up? You know, forget all the plans. Just blow it up and be done with it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm looking at this list and I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? When they said that she had dated one of the men, and I'm saying to myself, wow, I mean, what could I have done to hate, you know, to cause you to hate me so much that you want a python to eat my child? Where are you planning on getting this python from? Child.
Right. You know, and I think of all of my relationships, you know, that might have gone sour. You know, and I'm not saying that I'm that bad of a person that I have that many. You know, you might have one or two that if you're on this side of the street, they're not even going to look your way or they won't cross the street where you are. You know, that type of thing. But blowing me up and all of this other stuff, what in the world could I have done to you in my entire life to cause you to be that angry, that you have that much venom, you know, no pun intended, to try to take me out like that and my child. Not just me, my child too.
Yep. I tell you, these people here, the stuff is crazy. Well, let's grab this last story about the Texas dad who says to the wife, hey, you know what? I hope it was worth it because you about to meet Jesus. I'm done. And blows her away, shooting her 3 times with a, looks like a sawed-off shotgun here or some kind of shotgun. And after all of this, they say he was sentenced to 10 years, but after 5 years, he's going to be eligible for parole.
That's the part that gets me. Like, after 5 years, after you took her, you know, we don't know the dynamics of their relationship. You know, this might have been something that he might have been aware of. She's been cheating on him for a while. She says she's going to straighten it out, you know, and so I'm not legitimizing it again. You know, you done seen time and time again, you keep cheating on me, and now I found you out. You know, so at this point, hope it was worth it. You know, I'm taking you out. And then after all of that, you're only going to serve 5 years. I've never even, like, who do you know? Who do you have? You got somebody. You got a cousin, you know, a fifth, fifth brother, something. Somebody is in there working on your behalf in that you only have 5 years.
Absolutely. And this was planned. This was planned. You had a chance to reconsider this thing. But you know what, Tamika? He has a daughter who says she has nothing to say to him. And, you know, she does not intend to forgive him. And if she sticks to that plan, that's going to be a lot more costly than them 5 years that you get off of possibly. So in other words, you may do 5 years, end up walking, but you still may not have a daughter. So you know what? That might be more costly than the 5 years.
You know, and you think about it. You're going to get older after a while. You know, and you're going to need somebody to help take care of you. You know, your body's going to do things. And, you know, if you've got a, you only have one daughter and she's angry to that degree, you might want to think about that. The thought.
Yeah. Well, you already 60. You're already 60, Tamika. So you already headed down elderly lane. So now you're going to need somebody, because if you spend 5 years, you're going to be 65. Now, 65 is not the end of the rope or the end of the lane, but it's some place to be, you know, when you don't have anybody. You ain't got no wife and you ain't got no kid. Yeah, that might be a little lonely spot you're going to be in. Might be a little loneliness out there for you.
But you ain't getting no money for killing your wife. Realize that as well. You, when you come out, you get nothing. Or maybe you might get those resources you talked about the other day. We'll see.
Maybe, but like you said, it ain't going to be no, like, Social Security and nothing like that. Yeah. Yeah, so this here, you know, you, like I said, 5 years, that might be, you may feel like you're free, but what's the lasting effect of what you've done? So, we don't know. We don't know. Well, thank you so much. We have gotten to the time where we talk about our main topic. Our Pastor KL has joined us. And we're talking about signs that you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime. Well, how apropos is this conversation? Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Hey, hey, hey. You sound mighty, you know, bushy-eyed and, you know, bushy-tailed and, you know, all good over there in good old Alabama. What's the weather over there, Pastor KL?
Well, right now it's 64.
Oh, okay. Nice, 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 nice. It's kind of chilly on this end of town. It's wind day. I don't know what's going on, but a lot of wind, and it is kind of cold out here. So,
Pastor KL. It was salacious yesterday.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, but at least you got that 64. At least you got that 64 with you now.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're talking about, they say, you know you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime when their friends are your friends. Tamika, let's start with you. We've got to grab you while we can. Would you say that that's a rare relationship that can last a lifetime when their friends are your friends?
Honestly, I don't think that that really has to. Well, you know, now that I think about it, it would be rare because, you know, we discussed many a times that, you know, that mate always has that one friend that you go, oh, God, here she comes or here he comes. You know, that type of person that you're like, I could never be your friend because, honestly, if it was up to me, you wouldn't be in the picture, you know. And so if my friends are your friends, whew, that is extremely rare.
Okay, okay. You know, Pastor KL, they say that it's a good sign of a rare relationship when your partner's friends include you and welcome you into the group. And this is why they say this relationship is rare and can last a lifetime. What's your thought?
Well, I don't know that is rare. I think the older you get, like you know, my parents are kind of old, but the older you get, they have like couples who gets together like once a month or, you know, twice a month, and they do things. Someone does this month is at somebody's house. So I think the older you get, you know, you have couple friends and everybody's each other's friends. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's rare. I've seen that, you know, a lot with older couples. You know, with younger people, I think it's a little different because, you know, some young folks still have the TV friends, you know, and everybody is not really want to get with everybody. But I think the older you get, the more settled you are, you know, the friendship is a little different.
Okay. Well, Brother Al brought this one up last week. And, you know, they say that it's a rare relationship that can last a lifetime when you make each other laugh. Now, Tamika, what's your thought on this?
I think that's a beautiful attribute, you know, because life has its share of all kinds of crazies. And when you can actually look across the board and that one that you have chosen for life can make you laugh despite it all. You know, you if one thing that you definitely have is laughter, I think it is wholesome. I think it's completely helpful. You know, and sometimes when you're stressed, something simple, you know, you burned a meal. Never burned a meal, but let's just say, for instance, I did, you know, and he'll be like, well, okay, we had charbroiled, you know, that wasn't intended. You know, something just simple to lighten the load can really make things a lot helpful.
Okay. Well, Pastor KL, they have that making one another laugh in a relationship isn't always as easy as it sounds. But they still say that, you know, it's a rare relationship that can, you know, indicate that the relationship is going to be a lifetime if you can make each other laugh.
Well, you know, I was with Tamika all up to the point where she started talking about burning the meal. I didn't find anything funny with that. I couldn't even find a joke that would go with burning a meal. You know, I couldn't find any correlation with you burning my meal. I mean, what would I say after that? Charcoal is not a joke. I'm still hungry. But, you know, I do think that it's hard sometimes to make your partner laugh when they know you. Like when you go out with your friends and stuff like that, you are the funniest thing to everybody else. But when you live with the funny man, you know, some things doesn't become funny anymore. So it becomes more and more difficult to do it. And then depending on who you are, you try too hard to make them laugh, which is even worse because then the joke is definitely not funny. So, I mean, if you can make each other laugh, throughout your whole relationship, that is a beautiful thing, but it's difficult.
You know, before you said that, Pastor Kale, my thought, and I said I was going to ask both of you, you know, how funny is the person when you're already mad at them? You know, and you surely, you know, ain't laughing when they made you mad. Tamika, you know, Al is always cutting jokes and all of this kind of stuff. And when he's done has annoyed you, how easy is it for him to make you laugh at that point?
It can be difficult, but what we find that we do is when it gets to that degree, you know, you sever and you say, can I talk to my friend, you know, because my wife is angry with me, you know, and that's a conversation that we have opened up so that if that happens, you know, or even when it does happen, you know, maybe we got to separate for a minute. You know, I'm a walker, I'm a runner, you know, and that assists me, you know, let me break away for a little while, you know, and come back. And then at that point, if you want to talk to your friend, you can, because right now I don't want to talk to you, but you know, give me 15 minutes. Let me take a quick walk and come back, and we'll reset.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, how easy is it to make, because you're the jokester here, how easy is it for you to make her laugh when she's mad at you?
Well, I mean, it's difficult. It's definitely difficult because, you know, women are emotional. And listen, sometimes women want to be mad. So when they're mad, they want to be mad. They don't want you to cheer them up. They don't want you to buy them dinner. They don't want, no, I just want to be mad. You know, and if I burn the food, there's nothing funny about that. They're not coming back from that. She was hungry. She wanted that. You know, so it's hard. And again, being a comedian, being a jokester, it doesn't always work as well as people think.
Tamika, I want to ask you, do women want to be mad at times?
I don't necessarily agree that women want to be mad. I know some women that hold a grudge for a long time, you know, or it takes me a minute because I'm dealing with, you know, such and such. So now you got to wait. I don't intentionally want to be mad. I want to be able to solve that. But right now I'm so angry with you that I need a moment, you know, and what that moment is to each woman is different.
Pascal, what do you mean when you say women want to be mad? What indicates to you that women want to be mad?
Okay, so let me try to clarify. I'm not saying that you wake up in the morning and you just want to be mad. Now, I'm not saying that you just want to start an argument or, you know, I don't feel like being bothered with you today. I'm saying that if there was an argument or if there was a disagreement, you're not turning back from this right now. You want to hold in stupor in this thing. You know, so there's no joke I can make that's going to be funny enough to get you out of the feeling that you are because that is your feeling. So sometimes you want to stay in there. You could stay there for, like as Tamika just said, you could stay there for 2 days over the burnt food. But you've ate the last 2 days. You know, you've ate after that, but you're still mad after 2 days ago. So, yeah, I think they just want to be mad until they tired of being mad.
Now, for the record, I didn't think you meant we wake up wanting to be mad. I did understand you meant, you know, like once you set us off, we may want to kind of stay there for a minute. Now, how long Tamika's minute is versus my minute might be different things. So I wanted to make sure that that's not what, you know, you meant, but I didn't think that's what you meant with us just waking up and we just mad and things like that. I figured that's what you were talking about. I don't know. You know, I want to know why you say we want to be mad. Is it because she said to you, leave me alone, I want to be mad right now? Or what gives you that understanding that she just wants to be mad and just leave me here right now? Just let me be mad for a minute. That's what I'm asking you.
Well, it's a lot of things. I mean, one, she can say, leave me alone, I'll feel like being bothered with you. That's one. Or two, your actions. You know, like I said, the next day or two, you still not, good morning. How you doing? Okay. You know, all these one-word answers. Yeah, you still in your feelings. So you just stuck there. You know, and of course, you know, I always say, you know, that what bothers me may not bother you. What bothers you may not bother me. You know what I mean? So I can't tell you how to feel about whatever argument we had, but it was only an argument. But you want to stay there until you feel like you want to come out of it. Okay, then I'll sit here and I'll wait.
Okay. All right. Thank you for putting a little clarity on that for us. All right. So they're saying it's, you know, you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime when your arguments are constructive. So I find it very interesting that we're here now after what we just got finished talking about. But Tamika, Would you say that you're in a rare relationship, that your relationship can last a lifetime if your arguments are constructive?
I think you established that, you know, those are the building tools in the very beginning. You know, you establish how you argue, you know. You're not just going to argue over little petty things, you know. We have many times mentioned, you pick your battles, you know. We laugh, you know, because, and the funny thing about it is, you know, our marriage from time to time can be on display, you know, and we don't have a problem with that, you know. You've heard us many times, you know, laugh and giggle about the toilet seat being up or down, you know, about me coming in and out of the bathroom when he's in there. These are trivial things, you know. I think it's important when you use constructive, you know, don't just argue over little things that don't really honestly matter. You know, I'm not saying that they don't matter, but, you know, pick and choose your battles. Every little thing is not to be argued about. You know, me leaving a cabinet door open is not an argument. You close it, you know. You leaving something on a sink is not an argument. I move it, you know. Choose and pick your battles. And, you know, make sure that when you're arguing, explain what it is that's causing the issue. Because just because you said it doesn't necessarily mean that it was interpreted the same way that you verbalized it. Understand that we're women and men, so we understand things differently. Take the time so that the person clearly understands, and then at that point, it becomes easier when you start to converse.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, they're making a note and saying, you know, they consider a constructive argument is when there's no name calling, there's no manipulation, and there are no jabs below the belt. That's what they constitute as constructive. What do you say?
I say yes. I said they hit it on the head. I mean, we have to remember that when things are said, you can't bring it back. You can't unsay them. You know, so when you say stuff, you know, just outrageous off the top of your head for no reason, you know, you can't bring that stuff back when you want to be lovey-dovey again. And you don't know how you scarred or affected the other person. You know, and a lot of times when young folks, you know, we bring things home from outside. And if something triggers us, then he or she gets it all. What mama said, what the job said, what the friend said, they get it all. You know, Tamika said a very good thing when she said, pick your battles wisely. You know, a lot of times as the relationship progresses or as you become in the relationship long enough, you've learned to pick your battles. It ain't that serious to be talking to her about, you know, why I left the seat up. It ain't that serious. Just put the seat down. You know what I mean? It's a stage in your relationship, whether it's the beginning of your relationship or when you're coming towards the middle of the end. You know, as you grow in this relationship, certain things don't bother you. Oh, that's just KL. You know, that's just Al. That's just Tamika. You know, you learn that that's just that person, and you learn how to deal with it.
Okay, okay. You know, you talked about, you know, saying things that you can't take back. How do you come back from that place, Tamika? What would be your suggestion to someone who stepped across that line and now it's like, okay, I put my foot in my mouth, or I said, you know, too much, or, you know, I went too far? How would you suggest they come back from that?
I understand that is a rough spot, and that's why I said, you know, you got to be careful before you do that. Now that you've crossed the line, you got to be careful because you don't know how that person is going to take it. You know, because you're already in a relationship with this individual, do they harbor it for a while? Will they, you know, every time that you get ready to do something, oh, well, why don't you blah, 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 you know, because they're bringing that item back because they haven't released it. You know, and just understand that just because you released it and you said, oh, well, it was a week ago, you still harboring that, that's going to cause extra issues. You're going to have to walk on eggshells now because you spat it out. You know, now it's sitting in front of you. You're going to have to eat it for a while. You know, and how long that takes, I'm not sure. You know, and then my thing is, after you've said it and you've done it, how long are you willing to wait? You know, is this relationship going to continue to blossom? You now have to do the footwork, and you're going to have to do a lot to kind of fix that.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, you know, what's your suggestion as to how you come back from that? Because like you both said, it ain't an easy thing. But how do you make it right?
You almost can't. I mean, you could apologize profusely, but those are just words as the words that came out your mouth. So if you didn't mean it, why did you say it? It's almost that kind of thing. It becomes very difficult. And as Tamika says, you know, it depends on how much you want this relationship. Because now you have to sit there and stoop her in this thing as she attempts to get over it, you know, because it's always going to come back. It's like when you're burping, you taste everything that you ate for that day. You know, so every time you say something sideways, she tasted everything that you said from that day or from the beginning of our relationship. So you just have to sit there. It's almost like cheating. Now you have to prove that you can be trusted again. That is a hard place to be, just because you got upset and said something stupid.
Okay, so let's take it from the opposite side. So you're not the one who, you know, offended someone. You are the one who has been offended. How do you, you know, move on from there, Tamika?
Prayer. prayer is crucial, you know, and the way that you have established your relationship is really helpful. You know, like, for instance, like I said, you know, we use, you know, can I talk to my friend? Meaning, you know, my wife is angry with me, but if you for a moment can separate, you know, and can I talk to my friend? You know, sometimes that's helpful, you know. The other thing that I find that can be helpful is to take yourself out of the situation, meaning that it's not my husband and it's not my spouse. You know, you're talking about two separate individuals, you know, that you don't know. How would you look at that if it wasn't you and if you were not the one that had been offended? It helps you kind of process the whole situation. If this wasn't you, take yourself out of the situation so that you can assess it properly. And sometimes that's helpful.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, you're the one who has been offended. You know, what's, you know, how do you walk in that forgiveness and put that on the side so that this relationship can now move forward?
Well, as Tamika said, definitely prayer. You know, hopefully it's a godly relationship, and you'll need God to help you through that. I don't know that I can take it from Tamika's side and take myself out of the position, because while the knife is in you, you know, you still feel it. I you can slap somebody and say, I apologize for slapping you. It's still ringing from the slap. So now you want me to take myself out of the position, but I'm still wearing the battle scars. So it's difficult. The only way I can see it, to be honest with you, is I got to go to God, because I'm ready to go. I mean, depending on what they said or depending on what they've done, I'm ready. My flesh is wore out, and I'm ready to go, because you've hurt me, and I didn't think that you, of all people, would have done this to me. But since you've done it, then I've got to realize that man will fail you all the time. That's in my mind. Now I take scriptures and I use it for my hurt. So yeah, it's only gonna take God to let me stay.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. We have another item that they say. You know, you're in a really rare relationship that can last a lifetime if you can have fun together doing absolutely nothing. Tamika.
I think that's a beautiful thing, you know. I think I want to believe that we have that, you know. We could be just in the store, you know, doing normal stuff, going to get groceries, you know, and we'll have a laugh. He'll get ready to look at some, and it's funny because I'm getting to the point where I really, really know him. We could be walking down the aisle, and I see out the corner of my eye there's something that's going to catch his eye, especially in a hardware store. Oh, my gosh, he's going to be there for a half an hour, for one. For two, in that half an hour, in my brain, I'm like, put it back. We don't need it. We have a such and such and such. You know, we have talked about gadgets and things. He loves gadgets, you know, but, you know, and it's simple stuff, simple things that start, we start giggling and laughing at, you know, and we bring other people into that environment. You know, people can sense it, you know, and it becomes a laughter thing. Anything, watch a TV, something simple comes on, and it's just, you know, a battle of laughs. I think it brings us back to the other topic about laughter. You know, it is so crucial. How many times have they verbalized it? Laughter helps you going. And so if you're not doing anything, just, you know, cooking breakfast, you know, making the bed, you know, and you can find a laugh, it helps you, you know, it makes you, and then it's something that you can look back to. You know, I'm sitting here at work by myself, you know, and I'll think of something that he did or he said, you know, and he's very comical. So at any time of the day, I can go into a barrel of laughs because it's something that brings me back to that moment of laughter.
Okay. Pastor KL, you can have fun together doing absolutely nothing. You can last forever.
I think that's true. I mean, when you don't have to have an agenda, you don't have to go anywhere. It's not date night, but we have a date night at the house. You know, we just acting fools, and you say, "Man, you're so stupid." I mean, it sounds so cliche-ish, but I mean, these things happen, and that builds your relationship. You know, that as Tamika said, you could be at home you could be at work, and all of a sudden something pops in your head, and you're like, "This man is really stupid. This woman really stupid." And just start laughing. And your friends like, "What you laughing at?" Mind your business, baby. You know, but yeah, it can happen. It can definitely happen.
Okay. Wow. They have an item here. You know, you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime. When your partner wants to make you a better person, Tamika.
That is a beautiful thing, and it's crucial. You know, everybody doesn't know how to do everything right off. You know, so if there is something that I can assist you, if there's something, when we're married, we're looking at each other. You know, and you know, you see, you know, the flaws, you see the concerns, but you have already said, this is the whole thing for making the marriage. You have already said, despite your flaws, despite, you know, any inconveniences, despite it all, I'm willing to say yes. And in addition to that, how can I help you? You know, what is it that I can do, you know, better for you? You know, how is it that I can lift you up and vice versa? You know, you pull each other up. You know, I take a step, you know, and once I get up there, if I find myself a little higher than you, then I lift you. You know, and if you find yourself higher than me, you lift me. Don't stand there and, you know, cause, you know, us to bicker and you start throwing things, you know, mentally, or, you know, daggers, jealousy. You know, these are things that cause relationships to falter. And so wherever I am, if I'm looking around and you're not where I am, let me lift you. You know, and if I'm not where you are, then help me to get there.
Okay. Pastor KL, we have seen where this particular item can cause a lot more strife than improvement in a relationship where, you know, one of the, you know, sides will say, you know, they trying to change me, you know, this is the way I was when they met me, you know, why all of a sudden now you want to see me different, oh, now that you done looked at so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, now you want me to be like them. How do we get there opposed to seeing it as you want me to be a better person?
Yeah, I mean, because that other person becomes touchy, and now the insecurities are coming out. I mean, case in point, you know, if I tell you, "Hey, babe, you got to boil that water and put the spaghetti in there before you just put the spaghetti on the plate," you know, you need to know that, you know, the spaghetti got to go in the water first. you know, you can't cook. I'm trying to teach you how to cook, you know. And what happens is that what people don't realize is that me helping you is also helping me as well. It helps the relationship. If I say, baby, okay, you know what, you ain't got to go to work. Just go to school. You know, finish getting your degree or whatever you want to do. It may be difficult at one point, but I'm not telling you to go to school because I think you're stupid or because I think that your job is meaningless. I know you desire to do more. So why don't you just go ahead and go to school and finish that nursing degree or whatever degree that you're trying to get so that, again, it would benefit both of us. Definitely you. God forbid I leave you. Now you're in a better place. And I don't think people see it that way. They see that we perhaps look down on them, or even especially for men too. You know, if you tell me to do something, I can't do this no more. You don't like the way I did this. Then you know, it's a pride thing. It's a pride issue. You know, and when we seem like we're being cornered or being beaten up, because we don't look at the greater side of it. We look at, oh, so you just think I can't do it.
Right, right. And I've seen this happen so often where, you know, they're trying to make suggestions and they're trying to help to make the person better, but yet, you know, now you're offended because you feel like the person said, oh, they trying to change me, Steph. And, you know, or again, like I said, you know, I when they met me, I was like this. Now I'm not good enough for them. What happens when you're growing and you want to see your partner grow? What's wrong with that? How do we misread that and become jealous or angry or resentful when, you know, they're trying to change and now they want to see you change? How do we get here where you're just all out of sorts now? And I can't even tell you how often this is an issue when people are growing. You're in a relationship and you're growing, and now they're like all, I mean, when I tell you this has caused so many problems, it's amazing. It's amazing. All right, Pastor KL, they say that you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime if you're grateful for one another and you make it known. What say you?
Well, first of all, if I may, Pastor, I'd like to put a pin in something you just said, because I think it was great and people need to hear about this. I think one of the problems with people not seeing the greater in someone else or not understanding that they want the greater is that when they get into a relationship or when they get married, they heard about God, but they didn't know God. And now one or the other starts going to church and start knowing God for themselves. And now they want to change. And they want you to change as well, because I found this man that I think you need to find and you need to love as well as I love. And if we do it together, we can grow together. Now I'm mad because there was never a Jesus thing when we were dating. I didn't even hear about God. And now that you found this so-called God, now you want me to change. That's when the relationship gets crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, big time. Big time. Big time. All right.
Thank you for bringing that out. What was the question?
The other point, it's okay. The other point is, they say that you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime when you're grateful for one another and you make it known.
Yeah, when you are not ashamed, when you can say, hey, man, listen, if it wasn't for Tamika, I wouldn't even know how to do this. I wouldn't even thought about doing this. You know what I mean? I so appreciate her. You need to get you one of these. You know, when you don't have to put your relationship in the closet, when you don't have to hide on who you're with, you know what I mean? And you can say, yeah, listen, I didn't build this house by myself. Tamika did this. You know, Sharon did this. Tommy did this. You know, I need somebody to know that, listen, it was not me. Rome was not built by me. It was two people chipping away, and we got this thing together. Me, him, me, her, and God.
All righty, all righty. Let's take, you know you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime. When you discuss the future, why is this something that indicates that you can last a lifetime?
Because you need to be goal-minded. You can't just live day to day, you know. And if we're not cohesively together thinking about the same thing or shooting for the same thing, then we're going to always be pulling apart from each other because I want this and you want this, you know. So at some point, we need to concentrate on getting you what you want. And then once you've achieved that, then let's get what I want. And then let's get what we both need in order to move forward. You know, if I keep thinking that I'm just helping you and helping you and helping you, then I'm going to start being resentful over you because I'm not moving up and I'm stagnated. But we need to be working together so that we can both grow as a team. Our goals should be team-minded goals. You know what I mean? Because, again, whatever you grow in personally should help the team.
Okay, all right. Wow, this has been a really good conversation. I really enjoyed this conversation. Pastor Kale, thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well, you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, it's the top of the hour, as I like to call it, on a Monday morning. And there's only one thing we do at the top of the hour on a Monday morning, and that is the switch with Shantice. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the street to our godly seat. And our switch tip 181 for this week is don't let the others give you their truth. Now, one of the terms I cannot stand to hear is my truth, my truth, my truth. And I don't know if it's because we know that a lot of the times people are not real with themselves. It's really hard to be real with ourselves, you know, and very, very rarely do we find ourselves going to God and asking God to check our hearts, check our memory, check how we're feeling so that we're not one-sided on how we feel or one-sided on our perception of something, how we hear things, how we see things, how we feel about things. So now you just walk around telling people your truth, meaning your version. And it's like, oh, do we really care about your version? But most of us do, because most of us don't really care to look at someone else's perspective when it's us in the situation. And when I thought about, well, when the Holy Spirit had me think about letting the others can be believers or non-believers. Anyone who now believes in their interpretation of the word, who now believes in, you know, and Pastor Steph on our Sunday night live prayer last night, she touched a lot on your own perception as to how you want to interpret the word, how you want to interpret what God is saying to you, because it's really, really, really difficult to have to face yourself. But when you learn who God is and you learn why God gives us the truth and the word, it's because he loves us and he wants to check us. And we cannot now allow others, especially those who call ourselves Christ followers, who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves children of God, who have been baptized and now possess the Holy Spirit. We cannot walk around and either become the others or let the others give you their truth. And I had a really interesting encounter last week with someone who felt like they were putting me on to the word. And, you know, I have to say that even before I chose to finally listen to Jesus and give my life, I was raised in a Bible teaching church. My Pastor Burroughs didn't play when it came with not only teaching the Word of God, but teaching you how to learn for yourself through reading and studying and having your own relationship with God, the Word. And one of the things that was quite disturbing to me when I had this conversation with the person was there were two words in particular that kept coming out of their mouth, which is, I believe. And if I didn't know the Word of God, that would have deterred me alone. Who cares what we believe? It doesn't matter what we believe. We are now giving the Word of God. When God calls us to minister to someone, we are not going up to someone and saying, well, you know, I believe the sky is green, so now you should listen to me and take out one of your eyes, so now you don't see the sky is blue, you see the sky is green. Who cares? It goes back to the truth. Who cares what we believe? We are now obligated and chosen to give, not God's truth, to give the truth that can only come from God and Jesus. And there were a few verses that I came across, or the Holy Spirit brought me across, which I felt were like really, really, really powerful and really helping to put a stamp on this. John 4:23-24 in the Amplified Version reads, but a time is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And those words came straight from Jesus' mouth. We have to make sure that we understand what God is seeking. He is not seeking us to now have our own agenda and give other people our interpretation, or now go to God and say, okay, well, God, this is what I'm reading and this is what I believe it to be. Again, who cares? No. We read the word that he has now brought us across, and we now go to him on our one-on-one time. And it did have me questioning. I wonder how many of us really have that serious one-on-one time with God, because it's really hard for me to believe that you possess the Holy Spirit and you say you have this one-on-one time with God, and God hasn't checked you on his word. God hasn't checked you on the truth that stems from him. Quite interesting. When we now become the others or listen to the others, we have to understand that it's coming more from tradition and less from God's commandment. Matthew 15:8-9 in the New Living Translation reads, again from Jesus' mouth, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Now, farce means something that is supposed to be serious, but has turned ridiculous. So if we insert that definition into these two verses, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is something that is supposed to be serious, but has now turned ridiculous, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Now, I don't know about y'all, right? But God done told me why I shouldn't be having sex randomly, why I needed to cut off the drinking, why I needed to cut off the anger, which I felt was like the way of life, why I need to stop cussing, why I need to stop doing all the things that I was doing that he showed me was not fit for someone who should live a life in him that would grant me the life that I really, really, really wanted, right? And I'm now going to go and teach man-made ideas and be content with that. And now when Jesus comes, I'm going to now be told, going to the left because you practice iniquity? Absolutely not. I'm not going to fake give these things up, teach what somebody else is telling me to teach. All for what? For nothing? We have to be really careful that we are not making a mockery out of his word, because that's what comes to mind when I read the definition of farce and then insert that into these two verses. I don't know about y'all, but that's all I hear. Like, God is God and Jesus saying, you're making a joke out of the truth, and now you're making the truth, and you're spinning it around so that now it fits your comfortability, and now you're teaching that. So now you're trying to become a God. That's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Okay. John 8:31-32, Message version reads, then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Now, if you follow with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph and A Closer Walk Christian Talk Show YouTube, you'll see how God really gave me the spiritual boldness on giving my testimony, and how he called me out to me and showed me how I was now helping, instead of helping him draw people to him, I was helping the devil draw people to him. And let's go back. I wasn't living out what God was telling me to do, and I wasn't helping to make disciples for God. I was helping to make followers for the devil. Real hard pill to swallow, but it is what it is. You ain't got no time to be hung up on that part, right? The truth has set me free. When you open yourself up to what God is telling you that you're really doing, there's no time for you to now spin things around, because you end up working for the others, the other side, and not for God. So we need to make sure we're making a conscious decision of making the switch from speaking your truth, believing the others, hearing the others, and becoming the others, and making sure you do not let the others give you their truth, and making sure you're following the true word of God that can only stem from Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. Wow, what a word, what a word, what a word. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me get this benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 2 Corinthians 13:14. And I love that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because that kept coming up. Prayer and all of that. And again, you know, that's what Shantice just got finished talking about, that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, I really enjoy the switch tips. I really like this one today, because it took me to the verse that says, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't be so determined to be right that you don't listen to the Spirit of the Lord. You don't listen to logic. You don't listen to the written word of God. You don't listen. You don't listen. You don't listen. You know, part of growth, and we just got finished talking about this, even in the relationship segment, you know, is just being smart enough to listen. You know, Shantice talked about, you know, your truth. And I don't think a lot of us understand how we live in our own truth. When you're at the point in life where you don't really want to hear anything from anyone else, you're living in your truth. Because you have to not lean to your own understanding. You're not going to be the only person that gets it. You're not going to be the only person who gets the word or gets leading or gets direction or gets guidance or gets counsel. You're not going to be that only person. God is going to use other people to help you. It may not be a whole lot of people, but God is going to use other people. You know, I always talked about the fact that I was always smart enough to know I need to hang around people that know more than I do. And I still, that's something that I still lean on. I pay special attention to those who God has put around me that know more than I do, people that have experienced things that I haven't, people who know more than I do by virtue of maybe their job, maybe, you know, just a call on their life and they've been through some things. Well, regardless of how they know more or why they know more, I really don't get into. You know, I do consider it. I do look at it. But I don't put, you know, all of that time in it, because while I'm spending time to do that, I'm losing time. And, you know, when you're in this position, like Shantice is talking about, you know, where you're in, you know, this I'm speaking my truth, that's a dangerous place to be. Because most times people lock themselves into that and they don't hear the truth. And God's truth is not written only in the Word of God. There is God's truth outside of the Word of God. But you've got to be smart enough to detect and know when you're hearing it, know when you're seeing it. You know, when you say something or when you hear something and then you go read a scripture that it's like, oh, wow, that just confirms something that I just heard, something that I was just told, something that God just, you know, gave me to give to someone, something else that I just read. It's parallel to what's in the Word of God. Everything, you know, is not going to necessarily come from the Word of God when you get it, but it will be confirmed by the Word of God. It can be confirmed by the Word of God, but everything that comes from God will not necessarily come from the Word of God first, especially if you're not an individual who does a lot of studying and a lot of reading. You miss a whole lot when you don't read and study. You do. When you lean back on what you learned 15, 20 years ago, but you don't listen to anything or anyone now, that's a dangerous place to be, because then you end up walking in your truth. And again, you know, people, you know, this, I need to be able to tell my truth. I'm just telling my truth. And, you know, I haven't come to despise the saying as much as Shantice does, but I cringe when I hear it, because I realize that if we're not smart, that's a dangerous place to be. It's a real dangerous place to be. My, you know, my. And when people say, you know, well, my spirit just told me. Some people use that so loosely, you know, that you got to wonder, well, is it your spirit or is it the spirit of the Lord? You know, I think we have to make sure how the things we say are said correctly. You know, if you're saying that the spirit of the Lord is what's giving that to you, you know, some people say, well, you know, it is my spirit. It's inside me. No, we can't make the spirit of the Lord, call it our spirit. Then where's the credit given to God? Again, a dangerous place to be, because you're not relaying that when you say my spirit. You're not saying my spirit. Oh, by the way, that's the spirit of the Lord. You're not saying that. So when you constantly say my spirit, that's what that's ain't nobody interpreting it to be the spirit of the Lord that you're referring to. So now, again, that becomes possessive. And I'm not about to take the spirit of the Lord and say my spirit, because I do have a spirit. Yeah, my nasty flesh and spirit. The Bible talks about it all the time. My spirit ain't gonna tell me nothing good without the spirit of the Lord. So that's why we have to be real careful when we talk about my truth. My. Because, again, you don't want people to think that you're walking around with your truth. Not if you're a disciple for God. Not if you're a disciple for Christ. You can't walk around talking about your truth. Because at the end of the day, this truth belongs to God. And God is using you to relay his truth. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, you got to go, you know, you got to get all, you know, technical and proper. I'm sorry. That's just the way God has me be. And I'm not about to take any credit away from God. Exactly who gives it is exactly who you're going to hear who gives it to me. So, you know, we can, you know, do it the way we want to do it, what makes it comfortable, but we want to make sure we do it God's way. We don't want to take any credit for anything that does not belong to us. And that my truth, again, is a terminology that's used by the world. That's the way the world talks about, you know, my truth. And, you know, they're trying to push their agenda and they're trying to get you to understand who they are and what they're feeling and what they're thinking. And they got to get something off their chest and they're trying to prove a point. And I definitely get it. But right now, let's be on the agenda of God's word, God's truth. And that way, we're pushing God. There's no room for us to push us. Let's make sure we're pushing the Lord. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and give your life to the Lord if you haven't already done so, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Until then, I love you.